Hey, it's your host, Luna Nina of Let's Discuss Books. So I have the honor to interview an author by the name of Nikki Gray. So stay tuned for this upcoming episode. You won't want to miss it. Peace. Hey, how's it going, Miss Author Nikki Grace?
It is going good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're clear.
Oh, awesome. I keep trying to watch my kid. I just laid her down. I'm like, what is she doing? Okay.
That is fine. That is okay. I know the life gets the best of us sometimes. This thing called life.
I know. How was your day?
It was wonderful. I had a nice day off, and I just relaxed most of the day, and that's about it, really, before I get ready to go to work tomorrow. So that's another thing.
But yeah, before you work those long days. I got you.
Yes. Yes. So can you tell me about yourself? Like, what got you started into writing?
I always liked reading, like, since I was a kid. I just always liked reading books, and that, you know how books just take you somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're familiar with. Yes, I've always loved that. And then sometimes I'd finish a book, and then I'd say, oh, well, what if they ended it like this? I wish that part was longer or something like that. So I'd write, like, extensions to, like, little stories I was reading in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that was basically, yeah.
Okay. And you wrote The Splintered Doll, in which I read, and I love it. I love it. You know, when I was reading this, my mouth was just dropping the whole time, and I was just like, wow. And I was rooting for the main character. I was. So can you tell us the backstory of this novel? What inspired you to go this route? Because I know that you had told me it was inspired by your mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did that get started? Like, you wanted to let people know about her background? Like, how did all that got started?
Okay, so she, ever since I was a kid, because as in the book, my mom could not read or write.
Mm-hmm.
And she just would always ask me, when she'd see me writing stories or she'd see me, like, reading a book, she's like, wow, that's so interesting you can do that. Like, she was so taken by it, you know. And then she'd say, I want you to write about my life, you know. Can you write a book about my life? And I was like, Mom, I don't know. Like, it doesn't work that way. At the time, I'm like 7 years old.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, I don't really know how to write about your life. I'm like, what do you want me to say? And she's like everything I'm telling you. Like, just, like, write about it. And I was like, I'll try one day, but, like, I don't know. And eventually I got to a point where I was able to do it. Obviously it took a while, because when I released this last year, I started on it last year, and then I released it in like 2 or 3 months. So when it came to me, it just really came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much how it happened.
Now, without giving too much away, because I know that a lot of listeners will probably go out and buy, and wish they would, hopefully they do. But so I was really inspired by your mother, by, you know, in the novel, that she was able to get jobs and that support system that she had, because in her situation, a lot of young ladies don't have that support. They're out here by themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you put that in there. I mean, even though her little brother was young at the time, but he was still part of her support system. Her best friend was still part of her support system. So mm-hmm. I love that. And she was able to get jobs, you know, because mm-hmm. she was able to work that. And, like, I would be nervous getting a job. And if I can't read and write, like, I will be actually nervous. I was trying to find something, you know,
mm-hmm.
in order, I would try to avoid it the best way I can, because back in the day, in the 1950s, 70s, you know, they did what they had to do to in order to make it. So I definitely commend your mother on that.
Oh, I do too. I don't know how she did it. I mean, she was strong, and she took no mess, and mm-hmm. she always told us, she said, life is what you make it. And mm-hmm. she would say stuff like, you know, look at me and what I've done. And she always was saying, I can't read and I can't write, and look at what, you know, I was able to try to, you know, do something for myself, and you have a better advantage than I do. So she said, you know, you can't allow people to tell you what you can and can't do or not believe in yourself. You get out there and you do it, whatever it is.
You know, right.
It wasn't a second thought for her.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that was amazing. Because I was just like, what? And then you got to tell me about the bug spray. You have to tell me. Yes, my favorite part, because it got a lot of TikTok reviews on there. So you have to tell me about the bug spray. You have to tell me about that.
She did do that. That is true. That is not made up. Most of the things in the book is not made up. She one time, you know, messing with the wrong person, and I guess she said it was crab. She was like, it was something. Mm-hmm. And she said, I used bug spray. And I was like, you did not. And she was like, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And it worked too.
Wow. Like,
Mom, she just, wow. I don't know. I guess coming from the family she comes from, I mean, not trying things. You see, they're a little unhinged. So I guess just if it came to her mind, she said, hey, it works for bugs. They were bugs. So
I was just like, I would scream. I was like, no. And I was just like, you could try anything else, cutting, shaving. She was like, no, I'm going to go ahead and pick this bug spray up and go to spraying. And I was just like, man. I felt sorry for the hoo-ha. You know, I felt so sorry because I was like, I know she was, you know, irritated for a couple weeks after that. But she was like, what I liked about it, she was like, it was all gone, though.
That's exactly how she, you know, she was like, hey, you know, I couldn't, you know, go to the doctor. I didn't have time for that. And I don't have any insurance. She said that wasn't something, you know, that I could do. And she's like, and why would I go there for them to do something that probably takes forever? She was like, listen, I can just grab this spray and I'm good.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Now, do you keep in contact with her siblings, or you just, that's just shut off, you know, based off the book? You know, I know that would be your uncles and aunties and stuff like that. So do you kind of somewhat talk to them, or you cut that off?
I only talk to maybe a couple of the aunts, maybe like a couple of them. Pretty much only one kind of constant. And then there might be like one other that I talk to every now and again if I see her in passing or something like that. As far as the brothers, my mother kept us far away from them. I have never seen them before. I don't even know what they look like. One is passed.
Right.
And one is still living, but I don't know anything about him. I don't know what he looks like. Not like nothing.
I mean, that would be something curious for me to know, like, do you even, you know, because I know that happened to your mother. I was thinking, like, did she cut her children off from just her family, period, because it's based, except for her younger brother, of course. But I know for me, if that was me, I would just cut that family just off, period, you know, just based on what, you know, what I've been through and stuff like that. So it was just a curiosity. And once the people who read it, they will probably ask questions as well. So
no, only off from the brothers, basically. Not not anyone else. We would sometimes, when I was younger, I would see the other sisters like and stuff sometimes until some of them died. Some of them did come around. She kind of was closer to another one that I didn't mention as much in the story, but she kind of dealt with her and then another one, and the rest of them, you know, they ended up passing away from different things like drugs and, you know, stuff like that, or, you know.
Now, the ones that you do talk to, do they know they in your novel, or do they just, or they don't know?
The one that I talk to, she knows. It's because it's loosely based on her character as far as her. I might do a book on her life as well. She knows she was giving me more information to help me, because my mom is still alive, but she now has like severe dementia.
Oh, okay. Sorry to hear about that.
Yeah. sadly, she can't understand completely, I don't think, because she can't really talk that well or anything. And which is really sad, because I know she would have loved this, and she would have loved to do her own interviews and stuff. She probably would try to push me out the way and say, well, I'm going to talk about it myself, you know. So, but her other sister that is mentioned in there, I talked to her a great deal, and she filled in a lot of blanks, or she added to the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because her life also was not a walk in the park, of course.
Yeah, it was mentioned in the novel a little bit, so I was kind of curious on how she lived her life during that whole process of when they was going through that. So I was kind of curious about the sister as well, like how well did she, you know, live out her life. And now, is this the one that stayed with her grandparents?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, I definitely wanted to know how that worked out, because that was kind of like left up there too. Well, you know, she obviously had it hard too, living with her grandparents too. So I would love to hear about that as well, if you do come out with that. So
yeah,
that would be awesome.
Yeah. I'm considering it.
So the whole car is, I hate giving out all the info in the book, but the car accident when she got picked up by that guy that was kidnapping women.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened. So did they even end up catching that guy? Did she remember, like, did they even pick up that guy?
She's not sure. She didn't hear anything else. It's basically, as I portrayed in the book, I try to keep it as real as possible. She did not hear anything else about it. She felt like she did get confirmation that that was him from how everything unfolded. That's exactly what happened in the car, that she convinced him to pull over for that reason. I won't say the reason, you know, to ruin it. Yeah. But she did exactly what I explained in the book. And she is convinced that that was him based off drawings, pictures she saw, and based off his reaction. And, wow, you know, when she kind of reacted the way he reacted.
Wow, that's crazy. So besides Splitter Doll, what other novels that you have written that, you know, that you're trying to promote right now? Because I only read one, and right now, me and the book club, and we're about to start the other one that you have that's out. That's a series. So I'm actually excited to start that one. I'm just waiting for everybody to get that book. I forgot the name of the book because I read tons of books. Okay.
Yeah, I see.
I read tons of books. So I try not to get the names all mixed up. But yes, I can't wait to start that series as well.
That series is the Love Is series.
Mm-hmm.
And it was meant to be a creative way to take a person through the stages of love. Main character is a young girl named Piper, who's 26 years old. And she didn't really have a lot of upbringing where, I guess, well, most people don't. In the love department, she didn't have like a two-parent household. Her mom was kind of neglectful. So she kind of had to figure out a lot on her own and stuff like that. And the reason that it goes in the Love Is Sweet, Love Is Sour, Love Is Salty is because the sweet part is based off of the beginning stages of a relationship, obviously. Everything's
the
good.
The puppy dog stage.
Hmm?
We call it the puppy dog stage.
Exactly. So in that book, there's kind of introduction of the characters, not a whole bunch of drama yet, but then there's some signs. It's like, what was that about? You know, but you know how we are in the beginning. It's like, oh, no, it's probably nothing. You know, or, okay, I'm probably going too far. And then at the end, and since you haven't read it, so of course I won't ruin it, but at the end of that, when it ends off on a cliffhanger and she sees something and she's like, what? And then you come to Sour, and Sour is the stage of all those red flags starting to come out in your relationship. Where now it's like, wait a minute, things are starting to go bad. Sour, you know? Yeah. So, and now you're like, you know, what is going on? And you're getting a lot of answers, but you're getting even more questions, and you're like, maybe I should
different be doing vibes. This.
And yeah, you're just second guessing everything. Your world is turning upside down. And then you have the Love Is Salty, where everyone's salty. Everyone is pissed at what is happening.
Everybody's mad. Everybody's mad. And that's how it is in a relationship, especially in a dating game. It's not like you get a manual with this so-called dating game, because believe me, if we had a manual, I think a lot of people avoid different people, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. The dating game is just crazy because us females see a lot of different, we come to different situations in life. Exactly. We do.
Exactly. And it's harder when you're crazy. When you're navigating that and no one has told you anything about, you know, about who to mm-hmm. choose or why to choose a person like this, or you're just winging it. You know, you're so just who knows it. Who you'll pick
exactly.
up.
Exactly. And you know what's so crazy? That even in like in your 30s, you still go through that. And I always tell people, like with men, I'm sorry, men, I don't mean to bash out because it's just, I'm sorry. But it takes, to me, I feel this is a personal opinion, but I feel like it takes a little bit longer for some men to grow up, you know, mm-hmm. especially when it comes down to being in a relationship. It takes a while. Sometimes they still playing games, and they can say the same thing about us women. They play games all the way up until their 40s. I run into a whole bunch of stories. Women that's up in their 40s, 50s, that deal with this kind of drama. And it's like,
Yeah, that's true. Like for instance, the one thing I hear about a lot is the long engagements, being engaged 20 years and stuff. I'm like, wow.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, what is going mm-hmm. on? I mean, that's a long time if your goal was to get married and he agreed mm-hmm. or asked you or whatever, and then kept putting it off. And you look up and it's so easy for 5 years to go by, then another 10. And then I guess you feel like, well, why leave? You've probably created a family with him, you know? So it's like, why mm-hmm. leave?
And well, I guess that's, oh, I'm sorry to cut you off. I guess that's why we have that common law, 7 years, and then, you know, anything goes, because a lot of states do recognize common law. So it's like, but yeah, 20 years to be engaged is an awfully long time.
It is.
And that's a long time. And you're right. 5 years go by really, really fast. And it's just like, okay. A lot of people say you could be engaged for a while. You can go ahead and be engaged, but people don't realize that time do escapes from us, and before you look up it's like 10, 20 years later, like you said.
yes it happens. I've heard of stories. I'm amazed, but it happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you write not only just urban fiction, but do you write outside of your genres, like psycho thrillers or this different type of genres? Do you step out or you just stay in the same type of genre?
Splintered Doll is probably the only book that's written like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Here's another thing. Everyone's definition of urban fiction has been interesting since I've started writing. Mm-hmm. Everyone's definition of that is so different. So I don't even know if what I write is classified as urban fiction or not, because to some people mm-hmm. it is, from what I've heard, and from others it's not. So for instance, I write romance. Mm-hmm. I write untraditional self-help. And I write thrillers.
Mm, yeah, I love thrillers.
Yeah. So I have another thriller. The Twisted Damsel is a spinoff of the Splintered Doll.
Okay.
It's about one of the sisters that was in the book, and she has twin daughters. And it's about her twin daughters. And that's a thriller.
Oh, I can't wait for that one. And I seen that was another one that I think you're about to put out. Something with the surgery can go wrong or something like that. Plastic surgery.
Yeah, the cut off the nose to spite your face.
Yes, can you explain about that a little bit? Because I'm really interested about that.
Well, that's about... So the saying, cut off your nose to spite your face, means that you do something to yourself thinking that you're kind of getting back at someone else. And some people... Hmm. I asked some people, they said, hey, I had never heard of that saying. So that's what it means. And in the book, this girl who her life wasn't as great as she wanted it to be, or mm-hmm. according to probably society standards is what she was measuring herself up to more so. Mm-hmm. She got fed up. A lot of things happened to her in the book, and she's been treated a certain way all of her life. Then she gets a chance to change herself. And she does. And she believes that changing herself is going to give her this wonderful fairy tale life that she wants. And it becomes a nightmare. Which basically is because it's not completely about what you look like or what mm-hmm. you have. I'm not saying that looks and stuff don't matter at all, because obviously they do on some level. But overall, it's about you, and it's about how you approach life and how you handle things. And she has to learn that it's her and it's what she's allowing. And, you know, it's things like that. So when she makes these changes, things get a lot worse.
Mm-mm. And you see, and that is a perfect book. I believe that book right there explains, because I'd be looking at Love and Hip Hop and I see how these girls, these young women out here just damaging themselves by putting this foreign this plastic surgery, all mm-hmm. that stuff, just to make themselves, you know, appealing, and not knowing that your body's going to get older, okay? Mm-hmm. And your body is not going to react to this foreign that's in your body. Exactly. It's going to conflict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we talk about like Kay Michelle. She obviously went back to the doctor and she had to go through numerous surgeries just to get that out of her body that she had in her butt.
Oh, wow.
And she mm-hmm. she even said that she didn't get all of it out, but then she turned around and changed her face. So, oh, yeah. So it just like, I don't want to, it's called I think it's body shaming in a way, because I don't know. It just, I think it's kind of crazy, because I'd be scared to put something like that in my body, just to add on to my butt or breast implants and all that stuff.
Me too.
I don't know. Because listen, yeah. I know this is kind of TMI, but I had a breast reduction, you know, and mm-hmm. just going through that, it just was just like, never.
I heard it was bad. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who went through breast reduction. I heard it was really painful and stuff afterwards.
It's painful afterwards, but you feel a lot better, you know, after when they take all that stuff out of the fat that was, you know, that's in your breast. And I feel a lot better. My back don't hurt. My shoulders don't hurt.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
Good.
So I look at other women that won't, like a bigger chest, I'm like, you just be okay with what you have. You know, you don't want that because it comes with back problems. You get shoulder indentions and all that stuff, imprints in your back from your bra and all that stuff. It's uncomfortable. You know, it's not comfortable at all.
Yeah, that's what I look. That's what I've heard from people that have those really extra sizes. Mm-hmm. Listen, it's not fun.
It's not fun at all. And I remember, like, I remember I went to the club one time and I had to been like 25, and this girl came up to me. She's like, "Oh my God, how much you pay for those?" I'm like, "Pay for what?" I thought she was talking about my shirt. I was like, "Oh, this is what, maybe," I couldn't even remember. I don't even remember how much I paid for the shirt. I was like, she's like, "No, your chest, how much you pay for that?" I said, "Nah,
oh, wow.
I didn't pay for these. These was like, they natural." She said, "Oh my goodness, I have to pay at the time, I had to pay $7,000 for what I have." I'm like, "Oh my goodness."
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You're
of
like,
course,
girl, I could've
now
just gave you mine.
Exactly. I'm like, we could have made it go to, you know, we could have set that up, you know. But she was just so amazed, and I was like, oh my God. So I can't see how people can do it. Nope. And I carry mail, so it was definitely hard. It's a hard thing. So I guess kudos to those who want to go ahead and do that to themselves, but it's not worth it at the end, because you do get older.
Yep, that was another thing my mom always told me. She said, "You have to get old." That was another one of her lines. She had a million of them that she always
said
that.
Yeah, I mean, she's right. I mean, you do get old, and some of that stuff is going to make you sick. Unfortunately, it does going to make you sick. So,
yeah,
that's just crazy. That is that's crazy. True. And so how many books did you write so far since you became an author? How many books did you put out so far?
I think probably like 13 now.
13?
I think like 13. The romance. Oh, since you asked me earlier, and since it is February, the romance, the romance books that, I mean, the Love Is series that you're about to check out, that is romance, but that's also a little bit of suspense too.
Mm-hmm.
The Inevitable Encounters in series that I have, that's another three part, and that's about three best friends on their journey. Mm-hmm. So they each one have a book. And like the first story is about, it's like an insta love story,
mm-hmm.
where the girl, she hasn't been meeting the right guy, and she just never really has. She feels like she keeps putting herself out there and it's just not working. So she just takes a break from the whole dating thing. She's like, I'm done with this. And it is kind of spicy too, because they also aren't giving her orgasms either. She's never had one.
Wow.
And so she ends up meeting this guy and, you know, there you go. And so, of course, it's hard for her to trust him and stuff at first, but that's how that goes. And then the second book is a it's about, you know, like I said, three best friends. So it's another one of the three friends. And it is a second chance romance. And with this story, her husband, they've only been married a year, and she catches her husband cheating. She's trying to figure out what to do with that situation. And then the love of her life, or so she thought, he comes back in and he ends up being her new boss. And she hasn't seen him in 10 years. And they were like high school sweethearts and everything, thought they would be together forever. So now she's stuck between trying to figure out the husband or the guy that she thought she would, you know, be in love with forever. The third book is a frenemies to lovers. And she is usually, she's the planner. She has life in order. You know, everything is going to go like this. I'm going to marry a lawyer and it's going to be this way and all that. And
she had a plan.
Yes. And the plan goes wrong when a pregnancy test goes positive for a guy, a lawyer, no less, but she doesn't even really like him. And then she ends up running into another guy who is totally not, he doesn't fit. He's not a lawyer or a doctor or a stock market guy or anything like that.
But total opposite.
He's, yeah, but he's, she wants him though, but she's like, oh, this doesn't, you don't fit what I, you know, my vision.
Challenging.
Yeah. So that's those three.
Wow. You know, I'm very excited about reading those novels, you know. I was very impressed with Splinter Doll. I was very impressed with Splinter Doll. And I'm glad that had a pleasure to reading it, because I was like, at first I was like, okay, let me see. Cause I'm not like a big into, I mean, I try to dip and dab in different genres and stuff like that. So I was just like, huh, let me go ahead and dive into this one. Cause this one seems very interesting. And plus you recommend it. You was like, well, you probably wanted to read Splinter Doll. And I was like, okay. So I went ahead and ran out. I was like, oh my goodness. You know, it was one of those novels that I haven't like read since like when I was in high school. I was reading those Sister Soulja and Eric Jerome Dickies and stuff like that. And just kind of bring back memories when you read this novel, to me anyhow. But it definitely bring back memories on how the old writing used to be and compare it to now, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed it most definitely. I seen that on the back of the book it says that you're you said it, of course, wife, mother, and author, and what else? And I see that you have a bachelor's degree in business
and a master's. So,
and a master's also. Do you work or you just do this full time as being an author putting out books?
Yeah, I'm an author full time.
Oh, okay. She was like, I'm going to jump out of that 9-to-5.
Yep. Well, but you know what? It was easier because I was transitioning from, well, I still am. I'm still a stay at home mom too. I mean, you know, I'm here with them and I homeschool my kid and
that's the best way to go. That's the best way to go, because
I mean obviously I still do that, but I write full-time. It's definitely become full-time and it's been great. It's been hard, but it has been great and it's been fun. And now I'm, you know, working on all the stuff I'm trying to release this year. Oh, and you know, and then I forgot to mention when you asked me about the books, and then the untraditional self-help, I have one on dating, marriage, and pregnancy, and I'm supposed to add the fourth one, which is about parenting.
Yes, I was going to ask you, so how do you manage to do like your writing, get some, you know, time to yourself to write and also be a mother and attend to your children? How do you, and also be a wife, because that counts as well, because they need their time too.
They do. So, but you know what, but my husband is so supportive and awesome. I really can't even complain. He's like, okay, look, I got dinner, you can go right. Oh, the kids, you can go right.
I can do that. I wish I can definitely do that, because I get what we eating. what we gonna eat every single day. It's like nails on chalkboard when I hear what we gonna eat.
My son asked me that all the time. He loves to eat, but in the meantime, dealing with them like during the day while I'm trying to work, I just, hey, if I have to get on the floor and play with my 2-year-old or something, I just type with my phone. I'm on my phone. I do the notes. It transfers over to my Mac. I'm just going at it like that, just every day. I'm always doing some writing or some design. I also design too. So that's another part of the business of Nikki Grace Novels, of what I do. Mm-hmm. I design book covers for other authors.
Oh, you do? So did you do?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry for cutting you off. So did you do Splinter Doll or?
I've done all my designs.
Oh, wow.
All my designs as well as my website. A lot of people compliment me on the website. I've done that.
I love the website. Yes.
Yeah. So I do it all. I do the advertising, the trailers. And all those. All of that stuff.
Wow. So, okay. Since you tell me that, so how did you come up with the cover? Like, what inspired you to come up with that cover for Splinter Doll?
Well, I saw the girl and I thought she really fit. I saw her and just, you know, going through the stock art. What do they call it? Mm-hmm. Stock art. Yeah. So I found her in that, but then I was like, well, she's too plain. And I'm like, you know, my mom, I think of her like as a survivor, you know, a warrior, a fighter. And so I said, I'm going to put tattoos on her back. So I designed all those tattoos individually.
And oh, wow.
It's so funny because people were like, I thought that was part of the picture.
I
was like,
I thought so too.
I designed those tattoos. And all those tattoos, you know, they have meanings and stuff. Like, for instance, the that rose, my mom actually does have a rose on her back shoulder. And then I did like the blood dripping and the shark, because it's like people, whether it's your family or whether it's people in life, there's someone always ready to try to, you know, completely overtake you. If you slip, you know, they're always looking for that blood in the water, you know. So I created those symbolic tattoos and everything to put on the design.
Yeah, because I see the shark and everything else. I see that. I thought it was part of the book. I was like, oh, that's tight. But you actually said they're in the design, each tattoo that's on this young lady. Gosh, that is amazing. And then also too, it probably save you, because you do have to pay for like others to design for you, right? So I can pretty sure you save a lot of money in doing so by that, correct?
Yes, definitely. I don't have anyone else design anything as of right now. Maybe when I get to the sci-fi, I'll probably have somebody take over.
Oh, so you're thinking about dipping into sci-fi. Yeah, that's my favorite. Yeah, that's my favorite genre, sci-fi.
Oh, that's it. That's your favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it right there.
I think I'm all the genres. So self-help, romance, thrillers. I'm all the genres. I just do them all. Yeah, so sci-fi. I'll probably switch my pen name for that one though, but I already have a book started for sci-fi.
Really? I'm so excited. I love sci-fi. That's my go-to right there. I love sci-fi. I just, when you read books, you just escape from reality. It just take you to a whole nother world. It just make you live vicariously through that character. Mm-hmm. And that's why I fell in love with the main character of the Splinter Doll, because I'm like, okay, what would I will do if I was in your mother's shoes, you know? And how was I able to survive? Because that's the things that I'd be thinking, like, I would have did this, I would have did that, you know? Because you do, when you read novels, you kind of live vicariously by the main character and stuff like that. And you just be thinking about it. And I love reading. And since the pandemic had been around, I definitely read like more books than more than I should, but I mean, you can't get enough of reading, so
you can't. You can't really.
So since the pandemic, did it hit you pretty hard? Did your numbers go up for us, like sales, or did it drop? How did that work out during the pandemic?
Oh, they went up. They definitely went up.
I kind of figured that.
Or in the house, they're like, "Give me something to read," you know. And I end up meeting a lot of people. One in particular, my brother-in-law, it's funny because he, as he always says, he is not a reader. He's like, if it needs to be done, you know, then I read it like a manual or something. But he's like, I don't really pick up books and stuff for fun. And he is reading through my books and he is hooked, and he calls me like freaking out or excited or upset at a character or just all sorts of things. I say, I cannot believe that happened. And so it's really funny because, yeah, he's like, I don't even read books and I'm just trying to go through everything. So
And honestly, I can understand, because that's how my mom is. I got her started on one of the novels that I was reading, that I got done reading not too long ago. It was a short novel, and she'll call me like, Trina, what about, like, what's going to happen? I'm like, Mom, I have to give you part two.
Oh, that's cute.
And, yeah, and she calls, because she I didn't know that she loved reading. She never really, you know, talked about it, but she always, ever since I was a little girl, she was always buying books for me. Mm-hmm. And she even picked up a bird book for me, but that's another story for another time. But, you know, I never thought that my mom was one of those readers, because I never seen her read, you know, sit down and read. I always seen her working out and dancing and going to work and listening to music with my stepfather and stuff like that. But never have I once sit down and actually see her actually read. But now she'll call me and say, hey, I see that, what's that one book you're reading again? Because I want to read that. And I'm and I'm like, okay. And I give her the book and I'm like, I know it's going to take her a while, but she called me back. I'm done. So what's going to happen? I'm like, Mom, I didn't know you read fast like that. She said, yeah.
That is good. That is really good.
Yeah. And she doesn't work. She's retired. So, you know, I'm supposed to be giving her another novel to read. But yeah, she, every time I promote something, she'd be like, what's that one book? Can you send it over to my house and bring it by while you go pick up your mail? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. So,
So
I can understand, because like a lot of people say they read, but they don't really read.
I mean, I don't know. It's fun. I've always enjoyed it.
I did too. I just look at it like, if you watch reality TV, it's basically in your books.
Yep. Exactly.
It's just like your books. And even like with movies, it's just in your books. Everything comes from a book. All your movies and all that stuff come from a book.
They do.
And been inspired by a book. Yeah. So, so I have another question for you before we end this. So are you, for Kindle, for audio, are you willing to pay somebody to read your novel so people can listen? Because I know a lot of people, or some people, are really into audiobooks now. I'm seeing that trend going up a little bit as far as like audio listeners. So do you see yourself doing that, or how are you working on that, or what are you going to do about that?
Well, eventually I want all my books to be on audio. I'm actually trying to find someone for the Splintered Doll. The first romance book in the Inevitable Encounters series is already on audio, and the Tipsy Marriage Counselor is already on audio. So eventually I'm going to try to get to them all. I don't want to read them, but as far as like the Tipsy Counselor series and I think it was one of the other books. I can't remember which one, but like people that know me personally, they wanted me to read it because I don't know. I guess I say really off the wall stuff. They're like, you always thinking something so odd. So they're like, no, you would be the best person to read that, you know, to read your own stuff. You know, but I'm not going to do that. So,
yeah, because reading from Splintered Doll, I was just like, wow, okay.
I don't want to do it.
So. And that's understandable because you got so much going on your plate. So I can understand. So definitely I do understand. Can you give us your email, website for anybody who's going to purchase your novels to be looking out for any upcoming new novels? Can you let us know?
Yes. Everything, what's coming up, what's already out, everything is on NikkiGraceNovels.com.
And they'd be able to find your novels on Amazon and also Kindle.
Right now they're all on Amazon, but I'm about to make some of them available also through like your Barnes and Nobles and Nook and stuff like that, but I haven't yet. Right now it's just Amazon. But being a part of my website or joining the newsletter, you can always know what, you know, what's happening next as far as, okay, that book is now also available somewhere else and everything like that. But everything's Amazon currently.
Okay, awesome. And any social networks, if anybody want to follow you or find you or even, you know, contact you?
My Instagram handle is Nikki Grace Novels. And same thing with Facebook. It's Facebook, Nikki Grace Novels.
Okay. And then do you, okay, one more question I forgot to ask you. Do you even go to travel to like different libraries or do you do pop-ups or any sort of
thing? I said I'm going to start this year. But I haven't, I'm trying to see doing this podcast. Normally I just like to write. That's it. Mm-hmm. I don't really go out and do any events or podcasts or anything, but I'm trying to mm-hmm. be better this year.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Cause I was just wondering, cause I know that some authors pretty want to stay behind the scene or sometimes they dip and dabble for like virtual or they, you know, they pretty much podcast. I've noticed from authors, I've seen that they do podcasts or virtual as well. I don't know so much about pop-ups as much, but yeah, I was just wondering, are you able to do that or travel to go to different libraries or do pop-ups this year or next year? Or have you done them before the pandemic?
No, I didn't before, but I'm going to try to do some now.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for being my guest on my podcast. You're my first author, so I'm really, really excited that you took the time.
I appreciate you inviting me. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So for my listeners, thank you for tuning in. And until next time, peace. Thank you for tuning in for that cool episode. That was my first interview. I'm excited. Don't forget to follow me on social media, such as your Instagram and TikTok under For the Love of Books in KC, the number 4, Love of Books in KC. Until next time, peace.